This is for my sermon. This is for me. I ask for you to have a little bit of patience with me this week. I am fighting a cold. When you have a one-year-old who has a cold and he likes to put his fingers in his mouth and then put them straight into your mouth, there's just no hope. I just have really been enjoying this worship service this morning. I loved the special music and the praise team. I loved hearing the church worship with the praise team. I saw hands raised. I just feel so blessed to be a part of a church family that openly worships and enjoys each other so much, and it's just so wonderful to be a part of this church family. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I thank you for your love for us, for all you've done for us. Live through each of us this day as we draw a little closer to you, and may my words be your words. Amen. I'm actually going to steal this music stand. Story of the Good Samaritan. Kelly did it in Children's Church last week, or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember when Children's Church was now, but we did it in Children's Church recently. It's a story we've heard many times. I want to thank the readers. They did a beautiful job. It's a very, very familiar story. It's so familiar to me that I was getting to the point, as you do with Bible stories, at least I get to this point with Bible stories, I was starting to feel that there was, I knew the point of the story, that there was nothing else to gain. And then I recently read an article a friend of mine wrote for Spectrum Magazine. Von Nelson wrote an article on it, and I was floored at this completely new aspect that I'd never read before. And, you know, he stated in his article that it's actually an old concept, but I didn't know it before. So I was kind of thinking maybe you hadn't heard it either. And I wanted to take the chance to talk about it. Now, the Good Samaritan is clearly a story about giving, about the importance of giving. And that's a sermon I probably wouldn't give to this church. And the reason is that I have never known a more giving church family than this church. If there is a need, we meet it. If a person needs food, we find it. If the mission trip needs extra money, we get. This church gives. It is amazing, the ministries that have come from your giving, the Sabbath school groups that we have that give to special projects, the special work that we've done in people's homes. Giving is a ministry of this church, and this church is not a family that needs to hear a sermon on the importance of giving. You are all giving and giving, and I think it is beautiful and wonderful. And that is clearly one of the points of the Good Samaritan. But I'd like to say, for the first time, that's not the only point of the Good Samaritan story. Let's look at the context of this story. This story is between, Jesus is telling this story to an expert in the law, a Jew. And Jesus wisely chooses a Samaritan as the counterpoint. Now, I think a lot of times when we read these stories in the Bible, we are very quick to judge the Jews of this day. So I'd like to draw it a little closer to home to say, just look at the little bit of the context. Samaritans were kind of considered half-Jews. They worshiped God in history, but they also did other things. So this is why they were so, and then the Jews were the chosen people, and they were very separate. Before we're quick to judge the judgmentalism of it, I would like to point out maybe how we have the same in our society. We might want to use, instead of a Jewish person, maybe we could use Islamic extremists that we might feel that we're better than. In schools, we might think of the popular crowd versus the uncool crowd. It's easy to see. There are still, you know, we can look at the class lines in our society that we try to pretend like they aren't there, but they're there. It's easy for us to make a judgment on the class lines of their day, but think of people in your own life that you may have considered yourself a class above, a step ahead of. It happens to all of us. So Jesus wisely chose these two opposite sides. But here's something. He's talking to a Jewish expert of the law. In this story, it would have been equally as shocking if the Samaritan had been beaten up and a Jewish person had stopped to help. That would have been equally as shocking to their culture. Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus has the Jew receiving from the Samaritan. Jesus cares about receiving not just giving. Jesus wanted to point out the importance of receiving. I'm going to go with a few different levels here. This is why I have my friend here, the Russian doll. Greg Sergienko nicely told me how to pronounce this in Russian, and I've forgotten it. Russian nesting doll, we're going to go with. And to help with my illustration, I borrowed these, and I'm hoping to get them on the screen because they're a little bit small. Are we going to get them there? We're getting there. Okay, I'll hold it up in the meantime. Little one, the individual you're hearing the story, but we're going to go up one here. And we've been talking about the context of the Jews in that culture. And that's the next one up. When I was looking at my sermon, I was realizing there were different levels, and I just thought that these were, for some reason, this image came to mind. Here we go. And I was thinking that these would be a good illustration. So this one here is the religious culture of the day, okay? And we've been talking about that and how shocking it would be, how hard it would be to receive as in that culture. I want to talk now about this one, Jesus. Jesus was a great receiver. I need you guys to open your Bibles with me. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it's page 878, Luke 19, 1 through 9. I'm not going to read the whole story right now. But in this story, Jesus meets a tax collector, the lowest of the low. And after speaking with him, the tax collector invites Jesus to his house to eat. And Jesus says, "What can I bring? I can't come if I'm not bringing anything. Can I make something? Please, please, I have to bring something or I can't come to your house for dinner." Okay, that was kind of a joke. I'm clearly struggling with the humor today. Jesus says, "Yes, I will come. I will eat at your house. I will receive from you." Jesus, the Son of God, receiving from a tax collector. All right, let's look at Luke 22. Go forward a few pages to page 881 in the Pew Bibles, Luke 22. Jesus is teaching a little bit about receiving here. And he tells, Luke 22, verse 14, actually verse 7, he tells the disciples, "Go get the Passover meal ready, but wait, you're not even going to cook it. You're going to go ask a random stranger to give it to you." And they do, and it's prepared for them. He teaches the disciples how to receive from somebody else. You can't do everything for yourself. And Jesus accepts the whole Passover meal for them. All right, let's go to Mark 14, which is on page 850 in your Pew Bibles. And one of my favorite stories about receiving. Mark 14, verse 3. A woman, we have traditionally said, this is Mary Magdalene, has been forgiven much, and she wants to show honor to Jesus. And she spends all of her money on a bottle of perfume. And she comes, she pours it on Jesus' feet, and she wipes it. She washes his feet with her tears, hair, and perfume in front of everyone to show honor to Jesus. So many times when we try and show honor to each other, we shy away from it. No, I don't want the recognition. And there is importance to being humble. But sometimes we do it so much that we miss the grace of receiving. How beautiful it is that God, Jesus was willing to let this woman honor him in public. This woman that was not as good as him, beneath him, a sinner. He defended her actions and let her tears flow out and the perfumes fill the room so that all attention was on him receiving from this woman. And he cared that much about the importance of receiving, realizing that her need to give and was willing to accept and receive because of it. I got the chance this past week to do a communion and foot washing with Mrs. Bellows' sixth grade class at La Sierra Elementary, and the kids were not comfortable with the foot washing. It was really funny to try and convince them that, yes, they needed to do this, and this was very important. And whenever I've heard anybody say they don't like to do the foot washing, I have very rarely heard anybody say, I don't want to touch somebody else's feet. They all say, I don't want anybody touching my feet. That's gross. What if they're judging me? The thoughts are going through our heads of how personal it is to have somebody wash your feet. But Jesus cared about receiving, not just giving. Okay, let's go up one more. If you look at the story of salvation, it is an amazing story of God's willingness to receive from us. God makes himself vulnerable to our love, to our acceptance of him. He does not force himself on us, but he says, I want you to come to me. And he waits for our praise and our love and our acceptance of his, of him. From the very beginning of time of, do you trust me, in the garden to the end, God wants to receive from us. I will even go further than that, though. I think we all struggle sometimes with accepting God's grace. We want to be good enough for ourselves. See, accepting grace means receiving from God, means realizing we can't be good enough, and that we're going to accept that we're not good enough. We're going to quit trying to be good enough, and we're going to accept God's grace. The story of grace, the story of salvation, is a story of receiving. The ultimate story of all time, the great controversy, the biggest story ever, is, are you willing to receive God as God is willing to receive from you? God is a great receiver. I think we forget that a lot of times. We want to try. We want to do things. And this is such a wonderful church for doing things, man. I'm just always seeing you giving and loving and accepting, and it's so beautiful. But I want you to ask yourselves today, how good are you at receiving? I want to go back up a little to the Samaritan. Always makes a funny noise. And the Jew. Actually, we'll stop there. The Samaritan and the Jewish culture. The Jews were the chosen ones of God. They were the ones God had given the law to, and they mattered. The Samaritans were not. Jesus wanted the Jews to get the message of the importance of receiving from others. I dearly love my Seventh-day Adventist church, but I want to ask ourselves today, how good are we at receiving from others? Oh, we want to give, and we give. We love doing evangelism. We love reaching out to others. We love accepting them into our church family, and I think that's beautiful. But how good are we at receiving from other denominations, from other religions, realizing that God has sheep that are not of this fold? Are we able to recognize that and to receive from those who are not Adventist and to recognize that they have things, they have areas they can give to us as well? Are we willing to receive from others? Now I want to go to the smallest one. I want to look at you personally. How good are you at receiving? These are tough times. I'm going to put them out front here so we can see them really well. These are difficult times for a lot of people. I know in our church family, so many have lost jobs. So many have lost homes. And I know people, it's hard. I know for a lot of us, myself included, it is very hard to ask for help. Jesus asked for help. Jesus received. Receiving, asking for help, is not a sign of weakness. It's being more like Christ. It's being willing to receive, to give others the chance to have the chance to give. We are participating with Christ in this ministry by being willing to come to each other for help. And it's not just money. I know people are struggling with health. People are having a hard time maybe getting the normal things done around the house you used to be able to do, but because of your health, you can't clean, you can't get groceries. Please, as a church family, receive from us. Know that you can come to us for help. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's the strength in Christ to be more like Christ. I want to ask you, how good are you receiving as an Adventist? It's always the pastor's kid, right? How good are you receiving? How good are you at receiving as an Adventist? Do you have friends and neighbors of other religions, of other denominations? Are you willing to let God use them for you, to be blessed by them, to recognize the beauty and the joy in them, that God is working in their life long before you are in their life? Do you take the time to see it, to see where God is working in their life, to receive from them and not feel better than them because I'm Adventist? I have to admit I struggle, you know, when I speak with other Christians and stuff, but they have so much. God is working in their lives so much. Am I willing to be more like Jesus and to see how much Jesus received and to recognize it? But more than anything, am I willing to receive the grace of God, to recognize that I am not good enough, that God's grace is all that there is? And by receiving that grace, I then turn back and praise God, and he receives my praise, and he's so glad. And then he's hurt again when I turn back, and then he's so glad when I come back. And God continually makes himself vulnerable to receiving from us and is continually giving to us and saying, will you receive from me? Will you accept from me? It's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to receive. I think so many times it is much easier to give. It's fun to give. We feel good about it. And this is a wonderful church for giving. But I want to ask, are you willing to receive as well? Are you willing to receive God? Please bow your heads with prayer. Lord, you are our God and our Savior. We need to come to each other for help. We need to come to you and recognize that you are the God of all. If this is the first time we've thought about this, then let us accept your love and realize that there's nothing we can do to earn it, but you love us whether we want it or not, and your grace covers us. If we've heard this many times, let us receive it again. Live through us this day. Amen.